Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island, proud supporter of live music and driven to think big about beer since 1988. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago, Illinois. Think big about beer.
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and later in the show, we're going to revisit our 2015 interview with shock rock inventor and music legend Alice Cooper. But first, we've got some new music.
Today I missed my workout, but it worked out. Now I'm missing work now, but it worked out. Had to buy a crib for up on my first house. Had my first kid, I love how she turned out. I love how she turned up, even if I'm burnt out. I'ma have so many C's, I could have a bird house. I'ma love on they mama, I hope it work out. I hope it work out. Luckily, my ex ugly.
That is a little bit of a track called Workout by Chance the Rapper, Greg, one of the most important voices in Chicago hip-hop, the most important voice since Kanye West. Chancellor Bennett grew up in the West Chatham neighborhood, is now as well-known in town as a philanthropist, giving money to the Chicago public schools, just doing a concert, big one, at Norderly Island to celebrate Special Olympics. An international superstar since he emerged in 2012, but he hasn't ever sold a record, which remains fascinating to the both of us. So he tells you in an interview, I have a new album coming. And then he only gives us four tracks. apparently still working on the rest of the album.
Yeah.
We have this four-track EP, and it's fascinating because it's him shooting from the hip about the things that are on his mind right now.
Mm-hmm. You know, he spent some time with Kanye West in Wyoming a few weeks ago when Kanye was in his infamous period of dealing with all sorts of crises and putting out very immediate-sounding music. And so Kanye, I think, set the tone in some ways for Chance in terms of how he wanted to put out his music. This EP sounds very much of the moment, a snapshot of where Chance is now in relationship to his city, his family, and most of all, the people who have ticked him off. You know, we have not seen this side of Chance the Rapper. He's cuddly Chance the Rapper, right? With a few exceptions in his career. You know, No Problem was a track where he, you know, really took on the record industry in no uncertain terms. You know, you guys are going to try to manipulate me. Well, you better watch out. I'm not going to be manipulated.
If one more label try to stop me, it's going to be some dread heaven letters in your lobby.
And in this track, I Might Need Security, this is No Problem times 10. You know, over this explicit refrain, which we cannot play for you.
Well, the whole song's driven by this Jamie Foxx delivered incredibly catchy hook. We wish we could play it for you, but we can't.
You know, he's naming names here. He's calling out politicians, you know, specifically the mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, who's basically saying it's time to resign, pal, for what you're doing about violence in this city, giving quote-unquote paid vacations to murderers. He's talking about police shootings of young African-Americans in Chicago, which has become a nationwide problem, let's face it.
Yeah, but it's an intense period in Chicago with these trials coming up. There's a police officer, Jason Van Dyke, who killed a young black boy, Laquan McDonald, shot him when he was down on the ground. It is a difficult summer here in Chicago, and Chance is talking about it with his usual poignancy as well as his usual humor. He also has become Citizen Kane, a media mogul. He announced in this song the news that he has purchased a website called Chicagoist, which was part of the Gothamist Network. They went down, as many new media enterprise journalism sites are going down. He's going to now become a publisher. But he's taking issue, Greg, with the Chicago Sun-Times. He's taking issue with a female columnist. He doesn't name her. But Mary Mitchell was my colleague at the Sun-Times for the 15 years I worked there. She's a hero to me, like Lester Bangs and Roger Ebert, all right? And she's a woman who criticized the dispute that was very public about his child support. You know, Chance, you are a superstar now, and people will talk about you in the news. So, you know, in Workout, he is praising black women and mothers and lauding them.
Some love on their mama, I hope it work out. I hope it work out. I believe in long distance
in love.
He is also taking shots at them elsewhere. You know, Mayor Emanuel and Bruce Rauner, our governor, can take the hits, but I don't know if the media deserves them the way he's dishing them out.
Well, you know, that's a question that, you know, Chance is finally speaking out on in no uncertain terms. You know, some of the lines in the song are, you know, will shake you up a bit. When he talks about the bad guys better stay on my good side, well, who exactly are the bad guys here? He's painting some of the members of the media in that light. When he talks about buying Chicagoist, this internet publication, to run the racists out of town is what he's saying in that particular line. I think it's kind of refreshing that he's able to show this side of himself. Not only is there vulnerability here when he's talking about his relationship with his now fiance in 65th and Ingleside and how that relationship evolved over the last 5 years.
I can spare a rip to get my baby back. I just wanna fuzzy with my baby, so I don't wake up wonder where my baby at. I wonder if we make it back. I wonder can I pay it back.
Talking about his relationship, you know, to his baby. I mean, these kind of things are the vulnerable side of Chance. The other side of him is this public figure who is being scrutinized more closely than ever and who is inserting himself into social and political causes that are going to cause controversy. So he's mixing it up here a little bit in new ways. But again, people are going to focus on I might need security. And in some ways, I keep going back to that silly GQ headline from a few years ago, how Chance the Rapper's life became perfect. You know, and we want everybody to believe that, right?
Yeah. I'm good. And I was the last time, baby.
We back and we back.
Chance is basically saying, no, I got some issues too. And he's very much addressing that.
And Chicago's not perfect, yet he still epitomizes this city. Everybody, like you said, is talking about I might need security. But 65th and Ingleside, that's the brilliant one here.
Sunny now, you can't share. New dad step in, you can't stare. You knew the power in a woman that could lead you in prayer. On 65th and Ingleside, feel like you remember every single lie. Truth is, I just really need your finger size, so I can make sure that they made the ring so tight.
That is a track called Honeycomb from the new Def Heaven album, Ordinary Corrupt Human Love. Fourth studio album from this California band. The co-founders of the band, vocalist George Clark and guitarist Kerry McCoy, they met as teenagers in high school in Modesto, California. They moved to San Francisco when they turned 21 and started making music. 2011 was the debut record, Roads to Judah, but it was the second record in 2013, Sunbather, that really got them noticed, in which they expanded beyond their origins as a so-called black metal band and incorporated all sorts of new textures and sounds into that album. Now we have album number 4, which extends the legacy even further. We have a track from it that kind of indicates some of the new directions that they're moving in called Near. It's from Ordinary Corrupt Human Love by Def Heaven on Sound Opinions.
That is Near from the new Def Heaven album, Ordinary Corrupt Human Love. Greg, the title comes from two sources, Graham Greene, the wonderful British novelist, and Argentinian novelist Julio Cortazar. Both of their works that are being referenced are about the extremes of love and hate and how sometimes those blend, right? You know, I think one of the greatest formulas in all of rock and roll is that mix of sweet and sour. We've seen it done so many times. You know, in death metal, in black metal, you know, black metal adds lots of keyboards and classical pretension to the death metal Cookie Monster growl. Right? Unlistenable, right? I love a lot of black metal, and I don't think there's a finer progenitor of it than Def Heaven. But to say that they're just that genre limits them. I mean, they're extremely musical. They're extremely ambitious lyrically, musically, and they provide that catharsis while also providing a sense of hope. You know, after a tough week like the one I just had, yeah, you can listen to Slayer nonstop, but at some point you may also like run into the middle of traffic. You know, I like listening to Def Heaven a lot better because there's a little bit of a light at the end of that tunnel.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Def Heaven. I thought Sunbather was a great record. I do remember writing some positive things about that in 2013 when it came out and just getting inundated with nasty notes from metalheads who were saying, how can you write about this band? They're a bunch of sellouts and posers. This band still gets that sort of shtick. To me, they're doing something right when they're not necessarily playing to a particular genre or wanting to be pigeonholed in any way. The fact that they are so expansive and so willing to take risks is one of their greatest strengths. Now, that said, I think there are a couple of moments on this record which just leave me kind of feeling like,
Really?
I agree with the haters on these particular tracks.
Because I'm loving this whole
thing. Yeah, I'm telling you. The Night People goth ballad, I'm sorry, that looks like it belongs on the American Horror Story soundtrack or something like that.
I have a higher goth.
Doesn't do it for me.
I got a higher goth tolerance than you.
And You Without End, explain that to me, Jim, because that's the Broadway song that meets that has a guitar solo right out of a Queen or Boston album in the 70s.
It also has this kind of Enya interlude. Have you no Enya love?
You know, Enya can do Enya. I don't want Def Heaven doing Enya.
You looked up to watch them.
But I will say that there are those four 10-minute tracks on the record, including Honeycomb, a bit of which we just played, are fantastic. I mean, they're at A-plus level Def Heaven. Everything that I want to hear in this band, the riffs, the shoegaze elements, the atmospherics, the beautiful textures, the haunting textures, the propulsion, the drive, it's all there in those tracks. You know, they're a progressive rock band in many ways because you get like four or five songs in
That's
these 10-minute
them.
Epics. And when they do that well. And the song we just played, Near, fantastic. I loved that. Is a ballad that really works for me. It's very stripped down, very powerful, very wistful. The longing in that song is very palpable, and it does sort of reference that Graham Greene, The End of the Affair novel, where they talk about many of these characters dealing with these unresolved emotional issues, and you sort of feel that tone set by that song.
It's a fine line between clever and stupid, really. Well, this is what Spotify is for, right? Make the playlist of the songs you like on both the Chance EP and this Def Heaven
record. I like five on this record,
As always, we want to hear from you. What do you think of the latest from Def Heaven or Chance the Rapper? Call and leave a message on our hotline, 888-859-1800, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Listening to Sound Opinions, and that's the title track from the 1973 album Billion Dollar Babies by our guest this week, Alice Cooper. Greg, Alice was born Vincent Fernier in Detroit, but he moved to Arizona when he was a teen In high school, in 1964, he was the lead singer in a garage band, the Spiders. Kicking around Phoenix for a couple of years, eventually moved to L.A. The band changed its name to Alice Cooper, and Vince adopted that moniker himself. A couple of albums followed under that name. Pretties for You, 1969. Easy Action, 1970. Not making much of an impact. But in 71, everything clicked when the group started working with producer Bob Ezrin, who's been a guest on this show. Love It to Death spawned the mega hit I'm 18, and a string of super successful albums followed. School's Out, Billion Dollar Babies, and of course, Welcome to My Nightmare.
Pretty soon, Alice Cooper was becoming infamous for the theatricality of his stage show. You know, he was inventing a style that would become shock rock. And what he was doing is he was bringing on stage straitjackets, snakes, guillotines. I mean, this guy was doing it up big. Lots of blood, lots of fake violence. It was the most outrageous show in rock for quite a number of years in the early 70s. And we're very excited to talk to Alice Cooper. Alice, it's a pleasure to have you on Sound Opinions.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I know that My Generation, the Who song, was a huge influence on you, Alice. I mean, I've read that
absolutely.
In a few places. When did you first hear that song, and why did it have such an impact on you?
Well, you know, we're in high school. All of a sudden, the song comes on the radio, and it was probably the first anthem I'd ever heard. The first real anthem.
People try to put us to death.
Talking about my generation.
Just because we get around.
Later on, it sparked 18 and School's Out and I Want to Be Elected, the anthems that Alice had, because I loved the idea of speaking to a generation, and the song can go 5-6 generations apart and it still works. Every time we do 18 on stage now, everybody in that room totally gets it. If you do School's Out, everybody goes back to their last day of school. Those were real anthems that every kid could get.
School's out for summer. School's out forever. My school's been blown to pieces.
You know, speaking to the generation, it was a conscious thing going into writing a song like 18, which was really the song that put you guys on the map. It was a conscious thing. I'm going to write this anthem. I'm going to have lyrics that are speaking to my generation.
Yeah, it really was. To be honest with you, it started out, that song was basically a jam, that, you know, 3-4 chord jam. And Bob Ezrin heard it and he said, "What is that thing you're singing? I'm edgy?" And I go, no, I'm 18. I like the idea of the hook being, I'm a boy, I'm a man, I'm in the middle, I don't know what to do. And it was during the Vietnam War, of course. In other words, I can't vote, but I can be in the army. And then it sounds really kind of complaining and whiny. And then at the end, he said, "I'm 18 and I like it."
Mm-hmm.
The idea of I like being 18. I love the idea that I'm confused and I'm sexually insane, you know.
yeah.
So, I mean, it was a celebration of being 18 years old and irresponsible.
18, I gotta get away. I've gotta get out of this place. I'll go running in outer space again.
So the story of your band goes back to when you were a teenager. Before Alice Cooper was Alice Cooper, you had formed in Arizona the Spiders in 1964. Tell us about that original incarnation of the band.
The weirdest thing about the Alice Cooper band, there were so many ironies about it and so many strange left turns. We were a high school rock band, and it just so happened that three of the guys in the band were art majors. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It just so happened that three guys in the band were also four-year lettermen in cross country and track.
Wow.
So we were jocks on top of it.
Yeah.
Basically, we ran our school because we were all Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
We not only had the jocks wired, we had the rockers wired because we were the number one sort of local band in town. Everything was in place.
Yeah, no wonder you're 18 and you like it, because you're the coolest guy in the world. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I had girls doing homework for me. I had band rehearsal, and if I wasn't band rehearsal, I was running 10 miles that night because of the track meet next day. But anyways, there was nobody really wanted to beat us up because we had everybody covered.
After a quick break, we'll continue our conversation with Alice Cooper. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.
One day I'd find your game. Well, now you know they're not the same. I tried to take me for a ride. Now all you feel is suicide. We're two of a kind. Take what you can find. But don't blow your mind.